Why don't we pray? Father, we pray that you'd take your place as the preeminent one among us. It's your word that we are so serious about. You're serious about your word, Lord. You take it very seriously. We take it very seriously as well. And we want to know it, and we want to understand it. We want to be blessed by it. We want to grow by it. We want to treat this word in such a way that you are blessed and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like all good studies of the book of 1 Samuel, I would ask you at this time to open to the book of 1 Samuel. Gotta throw you a curveball every once in a while, let's keep you honest. Hebrew, Shmuel, means... Yeah, okay, something God. The something is important, yes? Does anyone remember, I believe it's Deuteronomy 6, but I'm only going by memory, so don't hold me to that. The part of the scripture is commonly called the Shema. What is the Shema? How does that go? Starts out, and this may be Deuteronomy 6, I hope it is, otherwise I'm recording my blitheringness. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. And it goes on, it's a rather large, protracted section. We have a mezuzah at our house. It's in that. Says non-kosher, and you say, what non-kosher? It's not written on sheepskin. It's written on regular paper, so it's not kosher, but it fits in that little box there, that mezuzah. The Shema, most famous, I think, to Jewish homes. Most of it would have those in them. And when Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? He says, hear, O Israel, Lord our God is. And what is the Shema? Hear. Shmuel heard of God. You should know both of those things. Shema is hear, O Israel, hear. It just means, so I would say, okay, open to the Shema if we were in synagogue, everyone would say, oh, and they'd know right part of Torah to open up because that's, like I say, prominent, important. And it's from the same base. Shmuel means heard of God. And we will see why. That was a certain man, noises. God is moving from judges to the king, the kingdom. We're bridging, this is a book that bridges that gap. Most people think that Samuel wrote it. I believe that Samuel wrote it. Do you have to believe that? No, I don't know if that's important at all. But it starts out, when God's moving in the nation or at a time, listen, this is such an important character, it's such an important time. This is a time we're still, it's the time of the judges, right? Ruth is in the time of Judges. By the way, I hope that was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. So we're going from the time of the Judges to the time of the Kings. A new day. Okay, we're going to go to a king. Now first, the first king, I would consider him, another's going to come in his own name. Him you'll receive. Before the king comes, the king, there's going to be like a false king. Revelation 13 talks about his career, and the whole book of Revelation deals with his times and his, and there's many books in scripture that deal with his coming onto the scene, his illustrious career. It is illustrious. It ends rather poorly, eternally, and there's a lot of stuff that deals with that, but he's like the first guy. He's the Cain before the Abel. You know what I mean? And I think that's who Saul is. And then we're going to see the king, David, who is remarkable and reminds us very much of his greater son. So Samuel's setting all that up, and he's bringing us to that time. David, who gives birth to Christ, who gives birth to the church, and here we are. This going all the way back to this book. It's really, like I say, a bridge. You know, it's a big bridge. There was a certain man, and when God wants to do something, he uses a certain man. That's how he always has done. God can do anything, and he can do it all by himself. Why doesn't he? I mean, the creation, nobody was over his shoulder coaching him, right? He could do that all by himself. And I think it's almost the last thing he did, like it was all by himself, in the sense of, he says, I don't do anything, but I tell my servants, the prophets. And then he wants to build a people, a nation, and a godly remnant, and a, what does he do? He commissions the likes of us, right? And someone has said, without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. I think they said that vice versa. I don't. But you get the idea. We're part of the plan, of his strategy. A lot of things go undone because we haven't done them. And that's all there is to it. So there's a certain man. He's of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. That's his geography, that's not his tribe. You have to read it, I think it's in, I can't even remember now where I found it. He's not an Ephraimite. He's not of the tribe of Ephraim, he only lives there. Levites were scattered throughout the whole land. If you remember, they had 48 cities. He's a Levite, he's Levitical, but we don't know it here. So when Samuel serves as a, like Levitically serves, it's not a stretch. Now, prophet, that's a stretch. That's God's dealing, but he would naturally have been about the things of God anyway. Okay, so we see his lineage. Anyone know, want to take a guess at Elkanah? Got something. Sue's got L down. You can't get an L by her. Elkanah's a quiet of God. It's almost Samuel. It's almost the same, idea. Maybe his mother was having trouble conceiving, and she was praying and praying and praying. And when she finally was having a child, she says, I have acquired him of the Lord. Maybe that's it. And we're going to see the same thing with Samuel's mom. Okay, is he a perfect man? Well, verse 2, and he had two wives. Oh, problems already. And we're going to run into the problems. I love the fact that God's very frank with his word. And by the way, in case somebody's wondering, I know you guys got this, but this will be on the internet, and this will be on the radio, and here and there. The lawful number is one, okay? One wife is all a fella needs at a time. Okay, if there's a decease or something like that and someone gets remarried, that's not a problem. He had two wives and he had them at the same time. Now, that's a problem. It seems like God never commanded that. You can't find a scripture where he commands that. But sometimes he tolerates, can I put it that way? But there's always problems. There's always problems. And, of course, there would be. I mean, figure it out. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. That's another problem. What's Hannah mean? Now, you have to know this one. Grace. Hannah means grace. I don't know what Peninnah means. I don't like her, so I don't even care what her name means. Hannah has no children. Now, is this why he has two wives? He married Hannah, and for years and years they're trying to have children, and they don't. Well, Elkanah wants a son, So he marries this other girl and he has children, which, by the way, kind of rubs salt in the open wound, because when it's just Hannah and just Elkanah, you know, maybe she can say, well, maybe it's him. Maybe that's the problem. But once there's another woman introduced and now she's starting to have kids, we can pretty much single out who the problem is. At a time when it was a stigma not to have children. Listen, it can still be like a stigma in some circles. Usually, and it's always a, can I say, heartache? I mean, for those who want children and where conception is a difficult thing, it's very expensive to go through that whole like fertility issues and all that stuff. It's very expensive. It's a very difficult road to hoe, I'm told. Thank God, I'm told this. I don't know this firsthand. But this is remarkable. So, you know, I think, okay, he's a good guy. Oh, nope, he's not so good guy. Oh, he's a good guy. And he's kind of goes back and forth like this. Because verse 3, this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Where is the tabernacle? It's in Shiloh. It's a time of the judges when everyone's doing right in his own eyes. Do you remember the story of Micah? Because we were hearing it today, if you're plugged in that and you go along with that. So, you know, the whole tribe of Dan, hey, let's move up here. They go to the house of Micah. We just looked at this about, I don't know, 6, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. You remember that? Hey, let's go up here and let's go. Oh, you get gods? And you remember, hey, Mom, remember when you cursed that? Well, I got the money that I stole from you, but here it is back. And, oh, blessed are you, my son. Here's 300 shekels. Go make a god. And so he makes his god, and he's got he consecrated his son, whatever that looked like. And then he hires the priest there. Micah hires the Ephraimite, who incredible story. And then, you know, the Danites come up and they steal his gods. And I say, I can't help saying this. If your God can be stolen, you got the wrong God altogether. So here's the thing. And you remember all that? This is the same time. Generally, the same economy, the same. But Elkanah's going yearly, faithfully, to worship the God where God asked to be worshipped, at the place of worship, at Shiloh. Okay, he's got a problem with the two wives. But at a time when it's not, he's not making an offering all the time. Yeah, I got two wives, there's no commandment against this. You can't commit adultery, but he's got, it's all inside I'm not condoning. There's no way I'm condoning this. But at the time when it's tolerated, can I put it that way? And by the way, if you're thinking about this, it's against the law. It's called bigamy. We have laws, okay? Just in case you're wondering. Am I thinking about this? Never. No. One woman guy, and I think that's all my friends are, all my godly, the guys I hang with, the guys I run with, the guys I love and hang around, they're all solid men of, you know, one woman. That's anyway, but he's a worship guy. He went up out of his yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. They're horrible. They're horrible. We'll find out they're committing fornication and certainly adultery with the women who are coming to worship there. Horrible. Now, Elkanah says, well, those hypocrites, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I have had enough of that. I've had a belly full because I ain't getting involved with any of those hypocrites. Not at all. Not at all. Is there hypocrisy in the church? Guilty. Is the hypocrisy on this platform? Yeah. And I'm not talking about the worship leader. Yeah. I know what I'm supposed to do. Do I always do it? I do not. Not always. I love the Lord. I want to serve him. And then there's life. It comes up and I make wrong choices sometimes. Is that hypocritical? Of course. I'm telling you, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Do I ever choose to sin? Well, I might have. Early 80s, last time I remember. I can't remember precisely, but it was. And we can use that for an excuse. Oh, there's hypocrites. There's sick people in a hospital. So if you get sick, don't ever go to a hospital. And I've heard people say, oh, the hypocrites in church. I say, yeah, come on in. We can always have one more. Just they hate when I say that. But he's still going. Even though Hophni and Phinehas are dogs, they are horrific people. And Elkanah, I'm going to keep saying his name. I don't ever, Elkanah, he don't care. He's going to do what he knows to do. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. That's to say, a double portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. That's a problem now. When we think about it, who makes a womb to bear? God. And when you can't bear, who's it's God. He makes the eyes to see, he makes the ears to hear, and if you can't hear and you can't see, I won't say whose fault is that, because it's not fault. We're not going to blame him. But here he specifically said the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did year by year, and as he did, so, and by the way, so he's playing favorites. That's never a good thing. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so he provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She provoked her, as Peninnah will find out, provoking Hannah. Why? Well, she couldn't have any children. And Peninnah could, and she knew that she wasn't the favorite one. So what does she do? She just tortures the other one, the favorite. Oh, grace, huh? Now, God hasn't been very gracious to you. What secret sin do you have in your life? I mean, you can just hear her. And so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. It's a feast. You were supposed to eat at a feast, but she's so upset she's not eating. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? And by the way, he knows. And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So he knows the answer. I like him, but he's kind of an idiot. But so are guys are. Listen, what are you crying for, honey? You got me, babe. That should be enough. Now, ladies, if you want to roll your eyes at this point, go ahead. Because you can almost, right? Right? But listen, I want to make this point. Your husband, and I know them, decent guys. Well, trying to be. But they're not wired to fill the deepest longings of your soul. No matter how decent they are. There's a place in your heart, in your life, that only Jesus Christ can occupy. And we as guys, we're not jealous of this at all. If my bride looks to Jesus to fill that place that I can never, I have an outside chance of being a decent husband. I got no shot at being her functional God. He's trying. That old men are from Mars, women are from Venus. The Bible doesn't say that as such, but we're two totally different breeds of cat. We're trying to figure stuff out. God made us this way. We have a wife, and she's crying. Oh, my goodness, this is not what I planned. This is the feast. It was supposed to be celebration time. Honey, what's wrong? Ain't I better than 10 sons? Okay, we'll give him a hall pass, okay? He's not doing this because he hates her. He's doing this because he loves her. He just is like the rest of us, clueless. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Now Eli is the father of Hophni and Phinehas, a godly and a good man and a horrible parent and a little bit on the indulgent side, obviously. But he has a sense of morality and he loves the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. Was she bitter towards God? It didn't say that. She was bitter. Listen, you lost somebody who you love. Is there bitterness? Of course there is. Of course there is. The Lord is the one who shut up her womb. Is she bitter at him? I don't think it's saying that. She's just, there's grief, there's natural grief. She'd been going up with Elkanah every year to Shiloh, worshiping the Lord, who had shut up her womb, and she loves the Lord, and she's faithful to the Lord. And is she clenched and angry, I ain't serving you anymore? Is there any ultimatums going this way? If you don't give me a son, I'm going to, what? I'm not going to worship you anymore. How many people? The highways and byways are littered with people who have kept this unholy vow because they couldn't extort out of God the things, whatever they wanted to manipulate him for. No, she's not, she's bitter. She has hurt soul, a hurt spirit, this grief in her innermost being. She was in bitterness. And what does she do? She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I was just teaching on Hezekiah. I've seen your tears. He keeps them in a bottle. He's very tender, our Father, is he not? So go ahead and turn on the crocodile tears, right? You can manipulate them that way. No, no, but when we're genuinely hurt and our spirit's wrenched with it, he knows, and he's very tender toward us. She's crying, she wept so, she vowed a vow. Uh-oh, it's a good one, it's a hard one. There's no hint anywhere that this is the bad thing. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. She's the handmaid. I love that. What is that? A female servant. If you will not forget thine handmaid, will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Where'd you hear that? Where'd you get that idea? Samson, they figure at this time, is about 10 or 12 years old. Ah, is there a connection there? Well, I don't doubt it. There's a lady, she couldn't have a child, an angel of the Lord visited her, and this whole, he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb, and she's thinking, well, if it worked for her, and God's no respecter of persons, look at what she's saying. I'll give him to you his whole life. Now, I want us to all understand something about children. We give them to God all the days of life anyway, all days of eternity. They're the Lord's. We have a small window of opportunity, about 18 years, probably a lot smaller than that when you think about how much actual impact you have, and past that to a lesser degree, but you've got a commission. Now, last thing in the world I want to do is make anyone feel guilty. Eli has horrible children. He's a godly man. I just always realized they were God's and they're ours on loan, and it's still that way. And then when they're a handful and doing the wrong thing, I'll say, Lord, look what your son did. I learned that from his mother, you know what I mean? I come home from work. Do you know what your son did today? Win the Nobel Prize in physics? No, but that's never the right answer, right? When he's my son, it was something nefarious is what he did. So I learned to just pawn off my sons on God when they're not winning the Nobel Prize. When they are, when they win the Nobel Prize, of course, then they're my children again. But I'll give him to you all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. He'll be a Nazarite, is what she's saying, from birth. Okay? It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli mocked her mouth. So Eli's watching her pray and pour out her soul to the Lord. Now Hannah, when she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. There's a lot of those type of women around. And Eli's an old guy, but he thinks wrong. It's hard sometimes with all the things that are happening in the world negatively to not be cynical. But we're not supposed to be cynical. We're supposed to have faith, and we're supposed to have hope in God. And so when anything happens, I'm always thinking, okay, how this worked out to the good? How did this happen? Wait a second. And there's some nefarious plot going on it's hard not to be cynical. But you can't pray and be cynical. You can't expect God to work and be cynical. Those things don't line up quite so much. I think Eli's a little cynical. He sees these women hanging around and there is drunkenness and stuff. And Eli said to her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. So she makes things right, and she's not arrogant about it. She just calmly, gently tells the man, well, what you're accusing me of isn't so. What is so is this. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Does he say, God will grant you your petition? I think he's saying, God bless you. I hope whatever you're asking for comes to pass. I think is what he's saying. I think she takes it as word. I think she takes it as a prophecy. Something clicked over in her, whether it happened or not. God's ultimately going to answer no matter what she thinks. But God rewards faith. You remember that? She said, let thine handmaid, boy, she is a handmaid, all right. She said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Why? She made a connection with God. She was grinding up over this. She was chewing it up and spitting it out and chewing it up again and going around and round and like we do with the things of the Lord, something we won't let go of. Because I can't let go of it. I just can't. And so here we are. And finally, a connection made. And we're thinking like, oh, he heard. He heard my petition. He's, oh, man, stand by. God's going to do some stuff. Have you done this in prayer? Have you prayed to the point where you just felt like he always hears us. You know what I mean, but there's sometimes when he, I don't know how to say it. Oh, her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning, and worshiped before the Lord. That's kind of a bonus because the feast is over, right? And they returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. He knew her, you say, that's in the biblical sense of knowing, and we all get that, so let's move on from there. And the Lord remembered her. What, he had forgotten her up until now? No, he remembered her in that unique and curious way where God is acting now. Like in the ark when he remembers Noah. Listen, he's only got 8 people in the whole wide world. It's not like he forgot Noah. Didn't I used to have people around here? Oh, yeah, Noah, I remember. It's not like that at all. It's now is the time for me to move out and activity and fill the thing that I'm... Why was Hannah barren? So God could make a big production of it. So the prayer could be there. Eli could witness this. Samson could have been born in the interim. And God's moving the players around the chessboard, moving things in a position. Okay, now everyone's ready. Boom, and he pours out his blessing. Why hasn't he answered your prayer so far? I have to believe that. I have to. I think he's, when everything's got to come to in a certain place in a certain time, in a Elizabeth, barren her whole life. They're bowed down in age. It says they're well stricken in years. The phrase actually means bowed down with age. I don't feel at 65 and 64, I don't feel bowed down with age. So if you have a woman who's bowed down with age, who's greater than 65, that's not childbearing, prime childbearing years, right? Did God want to make a really miraculous thing happen? Yeah, with Sarah, with Hannah, with et cetera, et cetera. The Lord remembered her, verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come that Hannah had, the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and called his name Shmuel, Samuel saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the idea, it doesn't mean I've asked him of the Lord. It means the Lord heard of God, okay? I asked, God heard, here he is. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. Whoa, wait, what's going on here? What's going on here? For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Well, he's got to be nursed. They don't have a nurse at the tabernacle, so she's got to take care of that business first, and that's fine, And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Establish, what did he say? The Lord established his word. Hey, you got to follow through on this. Now, he's a man. He can say in the Torah, if you hear your wife make a vow, you can say, overruled. No. If it's a young girl and her dad hears and he says, no. He has the right to do that. Elkanah, obviously, he was in on this, and he said, okay. If that's how you feel, if that's how you think God is leading, okay. And now he's saying, you better not Welsh on this deal now. Is she? I don't think so. I think she's committed to following through, but she's got to take care of biz while he's very young. And what is Eli went with a one-year-old. You know what I mean? And so the years, it's like three or four here, maybe five is the time of until he's weaned. Fully on food is the idea. And you remember, Gerber hadn't been invented yet. Okay, there's no strained peas with Eli going, okay, open the wide, and none of that, so. You know what I mean? So he's kind of like when he's ready to actually eat like food is kind of the idea. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, I guess. How old is he? 4, 5, 6 years old? Not old. And she's going to do what she had promised to do. She said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. This must have been a blessing to Eli. I pray sometimes because people ask me to, and I don't always know how the thing turns out. I kind of would like that to know sometimes. And sometimes God does bring something to my knowledge. Like, oh, yeah, we were praying about that and it happened. And we're like, oh, praise God. Was it because Eli prayed? I don't think so. Was it because I ever pray? No, I don't. No, I no. I that's not. But our heart is toward a certain thing, and someone asked us to pray, and what's the answer? Oh, I ain't going to pray for you. Well, of course you pray. And then when God grants the person that petition, isn't that a wonderful? We had a part in that, but not, we weren't like one of the power players. I mean, we just, us and you, we're all pulling on the same end of the rope, and then God heard, and it's exciting all the way around. That's all I'm saying. And I think he's like, oh, wow. This is the child I prayed for. And by the way, Eli, you're going to be a daddy again, by the way. And I don't think he knows any of this prior to. But what happens when she drops him off? Yeah, I'm dedicating to the Lord. Oh, yeah, I know they do dedication in Christian church, but that's going to come later. Right now, dedicating to the Lord means you got him. I don't think it was a long time before he was such a blessing to Eli, maybe even to Hophni and Phinehas. Okay, they're dogs, they're scoundrels, but even scoundrels recognize cute and godly. And they might have hated him, because you know how sometimes, not that you'd ever done this, but you know, well, you're probably on the receiving end. You know, if you live in a godly life and people hate you for no reason, then you're living a godly life. You know how it is. And you are setting up like, this is what it looks like to follow God, to love the Lord. And they hate that. You smell like death to them who are perishing. Oh, don't change your cologne, nothing, or your perfume. You smell like life to us. We love that smell. But those who are perishing, they can't stand it. You remind them that there's a judgment coming, and you're living a righteous life. So maybe they hated him. I'm sure Eli loved him, and I'm sure he was just, you know, a son in your old age. That's why grandchildren are so special, right? A child in your own age, old age, just like Jacob and Joseph, and then later Benjamin. You know what I mean? It's like wow, you know. So here she makes the announcement. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hard to understand who's worshiping who, where, and what. Is it Eli? Is it Samuel? Is it both in reality? Have an idea it's Eli, but I wouldn't count out Samuel also. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 1. We won't start chapter 2 tonight, and I didn't plan on it either. Now, a lot of stuff happening. We're gonna read about the misdeeds of Hophni and Phinehas and what's going to happen to them. And look at chapter 3, verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. He's the last of the judges, the first of the prophets, the line of prophets. And he's kind of almost a de facto king. We could almost add that. But he's really like, he bridges that this time in a rather unique way. Okay, let's pray. Father, we see in your word tonight answered prayer. Lord, it causes us to want to pray more, because we all have things that are near and dear to us and we desperately want to see come to pass. Hitherto you haven't found it appropriate to answer our prayer, but that doesn't mean you don't care about us, and that doesn't mean you drop the ball or anything like that, Lord. We're not, you know, sometimes we have bitterness, but it's not towards you. We love you. But we see situations, and, Lord, we have real heartache and real concerns and real grief. And, Lord, we cast all our care on you. We know that you care for us. Satan would lie and tell us that you don't, or that you're mad at us or something like that, but we don't get our marching orders from him, Lord. We understand what your word says. You love us and you care for us. And your heart is tender toward us. We thank and praise you for your word, and Lord, that it might find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.